Welcome to Move Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Clapson. The aim of this podcast is to explore, learn, and spread the message of rewilding and natural movement so that we as humans can live in more alignment with our nature and reclaim what it means to be fully alive. The modern world has stripped away so much that used to nourish our mind, body, and soul. This podcast will help illuminate how we can reclaim and restore our innate, wild, capable, and strong spirit. Thanks for joining me on this journey.
Hey, welcome back to a new episode of the Move Wild Podcast. Today, me and Jake are going to share a little bit about what we've been up to the past couple of days throughout the week, and also our thoughts on the podcast Jake did with Will Schindler on Tuesday.
Yeah, so I guess what we've been up to start off with, we've been recently staying at a work away, and really this work away has been awesome. It's been just like out in nature, beautiful house, right by the beach, so we've been getting out, being outdoors most of the day, and getting in the sunshine, and moving, and training as much as we can, and eating good foods, and I guess that ties into a little bit about the conversation that I had with Dr. Will Schindler that I released on Tuesday, and the traditional food ways that he was talking about, and we've kind of been trying to incorporate that as much as we can into our travels, although that's kind of difficult because I think, you know, we've had to buy a lot of things just because of the nature of not having a base and not being able to actually prepare or butcher or do any of those practices that Bill talked about on the podcast. But I would like to incorporate more and more of that into our lifestyle, and I'm sure many people listening would love to incorporate many of those things into our lifestyle. But maybe it'd be good to share a little bit on our thoughts on the podcast and also some of the ways that we've been doing that despite travelling. One of the ways that I can think of is the way that we get in organs, if you want to share about that.
Yeah, definitely. Before we even left, we met up with some bushes and we got a blend of sort of pumpkin mint swarm that tastes damn delicious. And it's a combination of spring, liver, sugar, as well as a bit of just regular beetroot, and it tastes awesome. Like, it tastes awesome. And we've got 10 kilos of it, we put it in the freezer, and then we've got little containers of that. And what we'll do with that is either mix it up with some eggs and just get nice and fry it up. We make little patties out of it. Yeah, it's been, that's a pretty awesome way to get your organs in.
Yeah, for sure. And like, so that's like, I know Bill Schindler talked a lot about eating nose to tail, and that's one of the ways that I think is really creative in incorporating those foods, because a lot of people have trouble. You know, it's very easy to say, eat the organs, eat the fat, eat the blood. A lot of people have trouble culturally and societally, and just because of the way they've been raised, to get in enough organ meats and enough of those nutrient-dense parts of the animal. As Bill mentions, muscle meat is really the least nutrient-dense part of an animal. Not to say that it's not extremely nutrient-dense, not to say that it's not delicious, but it is to say that organ meats are probably a crucial part of a human diet and what makes us human. So I think that's a really like practical way of getting those meats in, like going to your local butcher and asking if they can do a blend like that. We've also been trying to get in other organs like marrow and brains. Brains are delicious. If nobody's ever tried them, just fried up with some salt in butter. Yeah, eggs are a great way to get other, a more varied source of protein from the products as well. Has there been any, heart is delicious as well, just cooked up, just fried up on a barbecue or done in the oven. Yeah, anything barbecued can be done well. And yeah, that's how we've been kind of getting in that nose to tail approach as we've been traveling, and just kind of trying to source those different organ meats as we go. We're still on the mince that we got from the butcher before we left, so that'll last us a while because we've got 10 kilos of that. But we've also been recently buying sauerkraut and trying to incorporate some of those other foods, more plant foods into our diet, and more ancestral plant foods into our diet, like sauerkraut and like the fermentation. And that would be something that I'd be really interested in getting into, is learning how to ferment and learning how to make sourdough and sauerkraut and stuff like that. Were there any other points on the food stuff that you wanted to mention?
We definitely have about
another thing that, like, Bill touched on a little bit, like, these meats are so economical in terms of, like, how much you can get, the price that you can get is ridiculous. Like, the mince that we got, 10 kilos of that, is $15 per kilo, whereas regular mince is normally $19 per kilo. And, like, even just getting liver, you can get a whole lamb's liver, a whole beef liver for, like, $5. You can get heart for $3 or less. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And brains, like, are fairly cheap, considering. And like, all these different meats, they're not, you know, when you cook them the right way, they're delicious, they're extremely nutritious, and they're what makes us human, and they're what allows us to have such big brains and bodies, and are able to function at such a high capacity and be an adaptable apex predator. But they're also extremely cheap in the modern world, because nobody values them, nobody thinks of them as food, really. They think of them as dog food, or very few people seem to eat these foods. So at the moment, until tide shifts and many people start adopting these foods, these organ meats are extremely cheap. So I would highly recommend getting on them and just finding creative ways to cook them so that you find them enjoyable, like the mince that we're doing. And as Molly mentioned, we put up a blog post, so you guys can check that out. That'll be up on the website soon. But another point that Bill really, another point that I really liked that Bill mentioned was the idea that what makes us human is the ability to access the most bioavailable foods with the resources we have in our current environment. That's what makes us human. And I really love that idea, because it puts a whole new spin on diet, and it puts a whole new spin on nutrition. And it makes me think of all these foods in the modern world that are now accessible to us that weren't necessarily accessible to our ancestors, but can still be bioavailable, nutrient-dense foods, and we shouldn't necessarily be removing them unless they give us active problems. An example of that I can think of is dairy. Like, dairy is this extremely nutrient-dense, bioavailable food, and unless you have direct problems with lactose or casein, which many people do, and I understand that, it's a fantastic resource to take advantage of and will fuel your body in a very, very efficient way. And that's just one example, but there's many examples of that. And then a distinction that Phil made and that I really like is that most modern processing of food compared to ancestral processing of food, most modern processing of food attempts to strip away the nutrients of food and make it more efficient to process on an industrial scale and sweeter and more tasty, whereas most ancestral methods of traditional kind of food processing attempt to get the most bioavailability while reducing the toxins and the things that we do, the opposite of that in the modern world, to pursue a path of taste rather than a path of nutrient density.
Yeah, and definitely as well as a path of like mass production as well. Like, we don't very rarely use food organic, and the masses of our food is sprayed with chemicals, so we produce more of it, and that we can, there's more people with it, but what we can come with, the product that we get, is less nutrient dense, and we could be having less of it and seeing more from it. I feel like that's really interesting with a lot of modern diets, and a big portion of our modern diets is like a lot of quantity of food or volume, but very like lacking in calories or lacking in nutrient density.
Yeah, totally. And I think there's a massive incentive for all food to look the same as well. Like, there's a massive incentive for there to be mass production and for all apples to look exactly the same, and for all packages of whatever, all bread, all the food that we eat has to look the same, because we're not used to variation. We're not used to the fact that food needs to be processed and food comes from the earth. Like Dr. Bill Schindler said, and I love this point so much, was that if you can't make it from scratch, you shouldn't be eating it. And that's such a good point, because it's true. Like, if you can't tie it back to some organic natural matter and make something from scratch, then you shouldn't be eating it.
Yeah, and even just the process of understanding how that's made, so you have respect for it. That's actually, when I listened to him saying that, I was thinking that's exactly what got me into fishing. I was thinking, okay, from that point, when I started, before I was
all life in order to be sustained must kill or must feed off of something that is dead, and humans are no different. Like, whether that's plants or animals, like, you're killing, you know, when you eat sauerkraut, you're killing a plant, and you're, you know, like, seriously though, and when you eat animals, you're killing that animal, and to do that in a respectful way and to acknowledge the death of that animal and not to remove your face from the plate and not to just, you know, eat a steak or eat a cut of meat that you have no connection to and not understand where it comes from and not understand that was a live animal once. Even just having that understanding, I think, is a big shift, because obviously it's hard to live in this industrial age and not consume foods from mass production due to the fact that we don't necessarily have these skills as a lineage within our culture, and they're not taught. So, you know, I consume meat bought from stores, and I don't think that that's a bad thing, but just having that understanding that that was once a living animal that breathed and that, you know, had a brain and could think and had a life, just having that understanding when you're eating meat, that is powerful. And I think that changes the perspective and it gives you a lot more reverence for that meat and gives you a lot more respect for life in general. And also just acknowledging that, yeah, in order for you to live, something else must die. And that's that can be sad for many people, but it can also be beautiful, and it's a part of life.
Yeah, involved within that process, the more you can respect it, and the more you can begin to sort of connect with cultures around your area, and like more ethically sourced meat. And I actually really love you bringing up the issues of constitutional connections, which is then him and his family, and like where he sources his meat from, other than hunting, is something that he really knows, and he knows all the people that touch that animal and being involved in the process and bringing it to me.
Yeah. I think it comes back to the more, you know, the more in connection you are to your food source or to anything in your life, the cleaner and healthier it is for you generally. And the more in connection we are to the death of the animals that we consume, the healthier those animals are going to be. And the more in connection we are to, you know, all the different things really in our lives, and that spans across many things, but just talking food, the more connected we can become to that process, the more reverence we have for it, the more respect we have for it, and the healthier that food is.
Yeah, and even just our connection to our community, like our butchers and our farmers are our community, and deepening that connection with them, deepening that connection to our food, and I think those two are such a strong link together, and we often forget how social food is, and it's not just like the consumption of it, but the whole process of food and people at the table is such a social and such a connecting ability, and yeah, something to look about that's so beautiful with our community and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And originally we had stories of food to share as we ate that food, and more that's been lost in history and mass production. We don't have the story of the hunt or the story of the gathering or the foraging or the food that we're eating. And I know that the times that I've eaten food that I've hunted or been involved in hunting or had someone else hunt and share with me, there's a story behind that, and it's special to be able to have that meal and share it, because I know where that deer came from and I know what went into the processing and the butchering of that deer, and why, you know, why it's so just such a beautiful process, and I enjoy the meat a lot more, whether that's fishing or whatever it is, or even just harvesting fruits or plant foods or whatever it is, that it's a beautiful process and gets us much more in touch and respectful of those foods. I think that pretty much wraps it up for my few points that I wanted to touch on.
Something interesting as well, I'll just bring up before we wrap this up, is his point on that we usually eat, we just cut the meat.
Yeah, just don't be afraid to ask butchers, because it is so often that they'll have on display the exact same things all the time, and it's very easy to just see that as the whole animal, or like just see that as the, yeah, as the only, you know, as the only cuts. But like, there's so much more, and just getting familiar with that, even researching it, asking them, and seeing, you know, what other available meat there is that isn't desirable at this time to our culture or to our society for whatever reason, and that's why the butcher doesn't display it, because it's a marketing thing. It's a, yeah, even asking for fat, like we get fat and suet free, and like suet is incredibly delicious, but that's, you know, not many people use that. The same with fat trim, the same with marrow bone, same with just off cuts of different meat that you can roast up, and all these different parts of animals.
Yeah, and especially at the moment, being able to get, like, all the butchers will be cutting all the fat and the suet off the cuts, because we're all obsessed with having a really lean, low-fat diet at the moment, which is, well, I mean, great for us because we can get free fat, but it's horrible for people who aren't consuming it. Yeah,
absolutely. And that was the point that Bill mentioned, is that that's when our brain size jumped, when we had access to all those, you know, organs and fat and all that. All those parts of the animal that we don't often get access to. So asking for that stuff is really, really great. So that pretty much wraps it up. So thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please take a screenshot, share it on Instagram, tag us, and let us know what you think. And have an epic weekend. We will catch you on the next episode of Move Wild Podcast.